Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
CBS Sports Radio.
Live from CBS Radio Studios in New York City, it's the DA Show with your host, Damon Amendolara, featuring producer Mraz and the musical sounds of the Zap Zap Orchestra. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's DA.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They found a better way to mortgage so that you can focus on making your new house home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Thanks for being with us, everybody. Happy Wednesday to you. Good morning. We have Stunned to a News coming your way in about 20 minutes from now. In about 40 minutes, we go back, we time travel, go into the DA Show archives. More than 7 years ago, the Crave case nearly took down Mraz, as we talked about yesterday on the show. We've got audio from that Crave case challenge. It was the moment of Mraz's most heavy. Nearly tipped three spins. Never got to three spins.
Puffiness with sodium.
Never quite got to three spins.
Oh, okay.
So that's the win. But that was a devastating time, a devastating night for Mraz, as he took down 25 of the 36 White Castle sliders and was about to pop like a soup dumpling.
Come on. Nom, nom. We're putting that in our past.
We're on to Cincinnati. Coming up next hour, Daniel Jeremiah will join us from the NFL Network, draft scout for the NFL Network from the Combine. Let's ask this question. Why are there still so many questions about the Milwaukee Bucks? Last night, Milwaukee defeated Toronto 108-97. This is notable for a couple of reasons. Number one, Milwaukee beat the second best team, the next best team in the East. So the top two teams in the East met. Milwaukee wins. The Bucks also win this game by double digits, 108-97. And they did it on the road in Toronto. Milwaukee's supremacy over the rest of the Eastern Conference, now 50-8. They've won 50 of their first 58 games, is nothing short of remarkable.
Chris, over to Bledsoe. Bledsoe driving. Giannis, corner three. Up, got it! ABC for Giannis from the left corner. 104-94. The MVP with the biggest shot of the night.
We try and make everybody work. So tonight, you know, you got your hands full. They got a lot of great players, and you know, they make things really hard on you. But I think overall, you know, some real positives to take from tonight from our defense.
That is Mike Budenholzer after the win. That was Bucks radio on the call. Now, the Milwaukee Bucks are in truly rarefied air here. They are 50-8. There's only a handful of teams that you can count on one hand, on just two fingers, that have won 70 games. 70 games! Winning 70, used to be the mark of, oh my God, that's historic. Oh my God, that is an all-time team. You're talking about the 96 Bulls, the Warriors and the Splash Brothers, and all the Bucks have to do, I say all, but they're 50-8. They have to go 20-4 down the stretch to get to 70 wins, which is completely attainable. They are on pace to win 71 games. This is the Bucks' 24th win away from home. Milwaukee is 26-3 at home. They're 24-5 on the road. They have more road wins than every other team in the NBA has home wins, aside from the Sixers. The Sixers are the only team that have more home wins than the Bucks have road wins. And this was the second best team in the East. This is the defending NBA champions, albeit without Kawhi Leonard. Giannis on an off night. This was an off night for him. Went 19-19 and 8 assists. An off night. He had 19-19 and 8 dimes. Since last season, 3 times this has happened. 19-19 and 8. Giannis has all 3. He's a 6'11 power forward and had a game high in assists. Come on. The Raptors just lost by double digits at home. They won 15 games in a row not long ago. My point is, there's really nothing that the Bucks have done or haven't done where they should be questioned at this point in time. So why? Why don't people believe in the Milwaukee Bucks? Why is there still questions about the Bucks? Here's what I think. I think number one, most importantly, the Bucks don't have a second star. I think if anybody considered Chris Middleton or Bledsoe or one other Buck player a star, then we'd have a different conversation. I think that's the biggest problem, that we are so used to star-laden teams. The Heat, the Warriors, Shaq and Kobe, the Spurs' big three. We are so used to there being multiple Hall of Famers that you have to have multiple stars to win, that we simply don't think of the Bucks in that way. You know, the Clippers, benefit of the doubt. Kawhi and Paul George. The Lakers, benefit of the doubt. LeBron and Anthony Davis. Hell, even the Rockets, if the Rockets were doing this, 50-8, people would say the Rockets, Harden and Russ. We just don't consider a team with only one superstar to be worthy of an NBA championship these days. And yet, look at what the Raptors did last year. Now, the Raptors, granted, hit a compromised Warriors team. But, look, just last year there was a one true superstar team that won the NBA championship. That's the first part. The Bucks don't have a secondary star. If they had Paul George, if they had LeBron and Giannis, if they had Russ and Giannis, if they were any of these teams with two stars, we would automatically say Bucks NBA champs. The second part is, last year the Bucks had this season. Not quite this good, but the Bucks had this type of wow season, Giannis next level, spread the floor, space the floor, and kind of prove that they are the next iteration of NBA teams where you have a 6'11 guy running the floor, playing point guard in some ways, and they flamed out in the Eastern Finals. And when push came to shove in the Eastern Finals,
And they had to win Game 6 in Toronto. They couldn't do it. They couldn't get it back to Milwaukee for Game 7. And so we've seen the Bucks feel like this and flame out before they should have. Those are the biggest reasons. I think LeBron, AD, they've got this huge kind of eclipse over most of the league. They're the Lakers. They're LeBron. I think the Clippers with Kawhi, where was Kawhi going to go? Teaming up with Paul George, the Clippers have always felt like they are also driver's seat for a championship. The Celtics have been good. The Raptors have won an NBA Finals. So maybe people think about those teams a little differently than the Bucks. But Milwaukee for being 50-8, I just still think a lot of people question. And I'm not sure that's fair. You know, look, I understand sometimes before you get the respect, you actually got to do it. And there's a fair point of that. But they have risen to every possible challenge this year. And if they get challenged in the Eastern Conference, it's going to be because of a Herculean effort by the opposing team. I don't know if it's the Sixers. They flamed out. I don't know if it's the Celtics. I don't know if it's the Raptors. I don't know if it's the Heat. But Milwaukee is so light years better than the rest of the teams in the East that if they get challenged, it's a great job by the Eastern Conference foe, because also, you know, you have to force Giannis into bad series, multiple games. And I think that there's opponents that believe, hey, we can match up with the rest of the Bucks. We just don't have any answer for Giannis. But if he is off because maybe late in the game, late in the shot clock, he can't create his own shot if something's not falling that night. If we can junk it up to get Giannis into a bad couple of games, we can win that. Because there isn't a next guy we worry about, we're scared of. But it would also take the other team finding a way to slow down Giannis and doing what they need to do offensively, because defensively, the Bucks are great as well. People talk about Giannis, talk about the offense. The Bucks are one of the best defensive teams in basketball. There's not right now a weakness on the Bucks, and yet they still get questioned. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, Twitter, DA on CBS. New CBA is in front of the membership of the NFLPA. If they get a majority vote, it will go into effect this year. I think that there's one big plus for NFL fans. If you're a fan, there's one big plus. Actually, two. One big plus, no labor stoppage. This has gotten done. This would get done in a year, a full year before it had to. So you don't have to worry about any labor disagreements, labor stoppage, missing games, lockouts, strikes, etc. You know your football set up for basically the next decade, almost. The second big win, I think, is the playoff spots. Adding two playoff teams means there's more teams that are involved late in the season for a playoff spot. And we've seen enough wild card teams make the Super Bowl and win it so that you could have legitimate faith, legitimate hope, legitimate dreams. It means that if there's a 17th game, being 10-7 and getting into the postseason is reason enough to believe we can win the whole thing. So I think that's a good thing. It gives people hope. Getting into the tournament, getting into the dance, as they say, a little easier. This year would have been the Steelers and the Rams. Those are your big wins. Everything else to me is a whatever. Do we need a 17th game? No. The NFL is doing quite fine, thank you, with 16 games. It's pretty funny. The NBA is like, we should probably cut out games. NHL is like, yeah, we should probably cut out games. MLB is like, we should definitely cut out games. The NFL is saying, we should add games. Let's add more games. Let's make the season longer. That's a whatever to me for the fans. Mraz thinks it's going to be nice to wake up in February and know that there's another week of football we have to look forward to versus the previous years. I think ultimately football fans will be fine either way.
Yeah, but I think we will all be sitting there appreciating and going, you know what, this is great when the dust clears and we're there. I really do believe that. Extra week to gamble on, extra week of fantasy football.
The 17th game is a whatever because they're going to have to make it imbalanced somehow. So it sounds like the solution is NFC teams versus AFC teams. And 1 year it'll be all NFC home games, the next year all AFC, so that you have some type of reasonable tiebreaker for playoff spots in a conference. Because you couldn't have breaking a tie between, say, the Bears and the Rams, and one of those teams had 9 home games and one of them had 8. So, okay, that's a whatever for NFL fans. The 17th game, begin NFC-AFC matchup. I don't think that really matters much. I think eliminating the fourth preseason game, again, a whatever. Nobody cares. Nobody watches the fourth preseason game. Nobody plays in the fourth preseason game, so whatever. The season ending, well, you like the fourth preseason game?
I am locked into those fourth preseason games.
For what good reason?
I find the fourth preseason game to be the best reality TV out there. The last 3 guys fighting with 53 other guys on their team for a roster spot. I am the only one that likes it. The outcome doesn't matter. I like watching those helmets fly around and guys basically playing for their livelihood.
All right, but that will just simply be the third preseason game now.
Look, I am not telling you there needs to be a fourth preseason game. But when you say nobody likes the fourth preseason game, I personally love it.
But the stakes are just going to be moved to the third preseason game. Why you like the fourth is why you'll like the third.
Well, let me ask you the question, though. You say that, but the part of this is there's going to now be, in place of the fourth preseason game, that will now be a bye week. In other words, from your third preseason game, which will now be your final, till opening day, there'll be a week in between. So are you meaning to tell me that the third preseason game will now, in fact, be the fourth preseason game, which would make, I hate to do this follow-along, when the starters get their trial run before a game, which oftentimes used to be 3 quarters, now is really a half, that's going to be the second preseason game, and you're going to tell me now those starters are going to go 3 weeks without playing a game before opening day?
Well,
I don't know about that. I think you're still going to get your dress rehearsal in week 3.
Okay, so maybe the dress rehearsal is week 3, so there's a couple of weeks off, but then that means either week 1 or week 2 is where all the scrubs play to find their places on special teams.
Right. But, look, this is stupid because I'm all in favor of eliminating it. You know, that it kind of stinks for those guys who might get progressively better in camp and then throw it out there in that fourth preseason game. Like, look, I've arrived, I've gotten this, as opposed to trying to prove that in the first preseason game.
Yes, but there's now expanded rosters. So there's more jobs for the scrubs.
That is also true.
That are trying to hang on with one great kickoff return or one big tackle on a third down in the fourth preseason.
I understand the words coming out of my mouth sound ridiculous because it sounds like I'm pounding the drum that we need 4 preseason games. I'm not telling you we don't. I'm just saying I am one in the minority that I actually enjoyed the theater of the fourth preseason game.
So I think most of it's a whatever. The extra playoff teams win for fans. I think, though, a loss for fans is the second team doesn't get a bye. If you're a Chiefs fan this year, Week 17 didn't have anything on the line. It didn't have, could we get a bye? Because the Ravens already had it locked up. That whole drama, Week 17, will the Dolphins win in Foxborough? Can the Chiefs also win? Doesn't matter.
But it does matter because you still want to be the 2 to ensure that the second week you have, when you win, you have that home playoff game and you're not going on the road twice after that.
Okay, it just doesn't have as much.
I think it has as much. I do. I think you're still going to go all out for the 2-seed because you want to make sure that you don't go on the road at a minimum until championship weekend. I still think you're going to play hard if you're the 2, if you're the 2 or the 3 and know that you can jump out of the 2. You're going to want that 2.
But come on. Let's be real here. If we go back to week 17, the whole drama was, oh my God, the Patriots have to play wild card weekend? Oh my goodness, the Chiefs get the bye? The Patriots have never won a Super Bowl playing wild card weekend.
That's why.
They've always had the bye. They've always had the bye. If you go, yeah, they all have to play wild card weekend anyway. It's just who gets to be at home in week 2 of the divisional
round.
But it's not nearly the drama.
Yes, because we're not accustomed to that, but it will become the drama of, you know, basically, oh, if after Wild Card Weekend, they got to go on the road twice after this. You're just going to change your mindset and the way you look at it. I still think the two is enormous value. I don't think you'll see a coach lay down and go, you know, there's no drama here. Who cares if we get the three or the two? I think it's going to you're going to play for it all.
I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that because getting a bye week meant you could go all out week 17 because you had a week of rest. If you are locked into the two, the three, or the four, that means you have to play week 18, if you will. So you're not going to go all out week 17.
But do you want to then go on the road to New England, like you said, in a week two? I think you got to forecast this.
There's going to be many more coaches that go, let me rest my guys as a pseudo bye week in week 18,
oh,
if you will.
I disagree. If you're winning in for the
instead
two,
of getting
I don't
a
think
bye?
You're...
Instead of getting a bye? If a bye meant everything. That meant you got rest. Now you have no rest, and you got to go 4 weeks to the Super Bowl.
But having to not travel until the championship game, I think is enormous. If you are winning in.
Come on.
You are the team that controls your destiny for the two. There's no way you're resting your starters.
Healthy and going on the road is better than being winded and being at home.
Let's earmark this. I want to bet breakfast because if this happens in 2 years, I want it on the you are fireable if you're a head coach and you don't go all out to try to get the home games those first 2 weeks.
What do we always say at the end of seasons? Nobody's healthy. Everybody's banged up. Everybody's looking for rest. You're telling me that you have coaches on a 17-game schedule now, more games.
Right.
17-game schedule. Playing all of their starters week 18, if you will, because there's going to be a bye week. So the final week of the regular season in week 18 to make sure they have a home game in the playoffs 2 weeks from then, they're going to rest guys to get some rest before wild card weekend.
You don't want to be traveling in the playoffs. You do not want to be traveling. There's no way they do that.
Mraz, you root for a team that won two Super Bowls winning every game on the road.
Well, one of them, they won the first.
1 year, they won the NFC East and played wild card weekend. They won seven,
and part of what made that
seven games away from Giant Stadium.
But part of what made that so crazy is that it's very hard to do.
Perez, the Packers did it in 2010. The Steelers did it in 2005. The Giants did it twice. It happens constantly. The Ravens did it in 2013. It happens all of the time. Wild card teams win the Super Bowl.
We've seen, I believe it's the last 5 years, only teams in the Super Bowl have been one or two seeds.
I just rattled off five or six teams over the last 10 years.
Yeah, but that hasn't, since 2013, that hasn't been the case. The trend has changed. You're right, in the last 10 years, but the last 5 years, that has not been the case. It has not.
And now,
the next 5 years, the last five years don't matter?
Well, you're going to tell me that in week 17 or week 18, you're not going to have coaches saying, you know what, I just need my guys healthy because we've just endured the first ever 18-week NFL season. You don't think there's going to be?
I think that's a thought in their mind, but I think when they realize, oh, wait a minute, this is the team that could get in. They're playing their starters, and we have to go there. They're impossible to beat in their building in the second week of the postseason. We better make sure we have this game at home. I believe you are going to value that home playoff game in the second round, not having to be on the road at a minimum until championship week, and I think that is going to be of enormous value.
I can't see it. These guys are going to want to be healthy. These players are already saying 17 games is too much. It's too much. It's too much football. They're going to want to rest in week 18 before playing wild card weekend.
It's going to be fascinating. But, hey, look, the NFL did its job. They just got disagreements on this.
Because they needed more disagreements?
No, but I'm saying this is strategy. This is debate. This is topic. This is the NFL.
They have everybody's eyes anyway. They didn't need any of this. They didn't need it. It's not like baseball.
Well, that's true, too.
When we come back here on the show, we are stunned to a news. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
DA, my man, how are you? First off, I just want to thank you, Mraz, the body, Bogus, for being a big part of my work week, man, because you guys sure make the mornings fly by, and I appreciate that.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
This weekend on CBS, a back-to-back college hoops doubleheader starting on Saturday. Number 3, Kansas at Kansas State, followed by 13th-ranked Auburn and number 10, Kentucky. Then on Sunday, a Big East action between Xavier and Georgetown and one of the fiercest rivalries in college. Michigan visits 25th-ranked Ohio State. The road to the Final Four is only on CBS. Thanks for being with us, everybody. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. You can always listen to us in podcast form. Full episodes are available, and also the best of is available every single day. A 1 hour to 1.5 hour consolidated best of show every single day if you want to get the best of the DA show on a daily platform. Find it all places podcasts are available. I'll actually be at Rupp Arena coming up on Saturday for Kentucky-Auburn. As I've mentioned before, the Bourbon Belle, which is how she got her nickname. My wife is a Kentucky grad, so we're going down there. She has her annual Dance Blue competition and fundraiser, which is always one of the coolest events I have the privilege of being part of. At the University of Kentucky, they have hundreds of students that fundraise, that get donors and pledges to dance for 24 hours straight. They have to stay up for 24 hours. They have to dance in a synchronized, huge dance competition. Not really competition, but it's a huge dance event, and it is so cool. It's done at the Roland Memorial Coliseum, where the Kentucky Wildcats used to play men's basketball before Rupp was built. And so you have a great backdrop for such a cool event, and all the money that is raised by all of these young people as they stay up through the night, 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m., dancing for 24 hours, all goes to children's cancer research and support for families of children that are dealing with cancer, the treatment. So all this money goes to supporting these families and their children for cancer research and the hospitals on campus and families that just need help financially because they're dealing with such a difficult challenge in their lives. And to meet the parents and to meet the children, it is just an amazing thing. So I'm very privileged and lucky to be part of it in some small way. My wife has been chairperson for a long time, and it happens every year. So we're going to go down there, and this weekend it's going to happen to coincide with Kentucky-Auburn on Saturday. So going down there, going to watch the game at Rupp on Saturday, and then check out the event, which is going to go from Saturday night through Sunday. So fired up about it.
Now, will the Bourbon Belle be awake for 24 hours?
She does not usually make it all 24.
Okay.
She tries. I don't.
Mm.
There's no way with this schedule there would be any way that I could make the 24 hours.
Correct.
But we usually make it pretty late and then wake up pretty early to get back over there.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids are starting to kind of show the effects.
Right.
When you get back there at like 7 a.m., 8 a.m., but, you know, they keep going, and they just keep chugging along. They have their electrolytes. They have their caffeinated beverages.
Do they eat?
They do have, yeah.
While they dance, they're eating?
I think you're allowed to take, like, a five-minute food break, like, in intervals.
Oh, man.
You got to fire it down and then get right back out there and keep dancing.
I don't know if I could do that. And then you're dancing right after eating? Is there time for the bathroom?
Yeah, they are allowed bathroom breaks. Yes, they are allowed.
So it's not a full 24 hours straight.
Well,
they're awake for 24 hours.
You have to be awake for the entire 24 hours.
That is amazing. I couldn't do it. No way.
And the coolest part is when you count down to the final hour or so, then the stands fill up and all of the fraternities and sororities and kids from campus and campus organizations and parents and fans come to watch like the final hour or so until they finally do the 24 hours, and then they put up the big pledge number on the screen.
That's cool.
So you get to see how much they raise. And, I mean, it's millions of dollars every year for pediatric cancer research and the support of the families. So it is just such a heartwarming, awesome thing. So a little bit of bourbon, and Kentucky fans know how to party because when they pregame for Wildcats games, they don't drink beer, they drink bourbon. So imagine just pregaming with straight bourbon and bourbon slushies and bourbon sunrises and bourbon mixed cocktails.
That's a headache for an early start.
It's a big one. So I'm excited about that. There's actually a Nomad episode that I did about the entire event and going to Rupp and Dance Blue. So if you want to check that out, go to my YouTube page on Nomad and just find Nomad and you'll see the search Nomad and Dance Blue or Nomad Kentucky and you'll find it on YouTube pretty easily. So Andrew Bogish is in with your headlines, our headlines. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, DA. These headlines are sponsored by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. NFL players expected to vote promptly, but the exact time and method still unclear this morning. Player reps approved the proposed CBA overnight by a 17-14 vote, with one abstaining. They passed it on to all players, though, without a recommendation to approve, because two-thirds of those reps didn't okay it.
I like abstaining from the vote. Like, this is a huge moment.
Right.
This is a CBA that affects the next 8 years of your lives, and somebody's like, you know what? I got no thought on this.
Yeah, like, was he waiting for text messages back from his players to not know where they stand as a group?
You know, I'm kind of in the middle on this. I don't know.
Anyway, so I guess normally, had they gotten two-third yes votes, they would have said to the players, here's the thing, you should say yes.
Right.
This now just gets, without comment, presented to them.
But they only need a majority. They only need 51%, right?
Right, but in terms of the machinations of like the union's existence, if two-thirds of these reps had said yes to this deal last night, they would have suggested to the membership, we should approve this. That's not what's happening here. They're just passing it on and saying it's your turn to vote. You guys do what you want.
I would imagine if the player reps vote 17-14, that's probably likely how this will vote. It'll probably pass by like 60-40.
Yeah, because one of the theories I've seen is that the lower end stuff that doesn't get all the headlines is what will seal the deal here. Like the fact that minimum salary just goes up by $100,000. That's a lot of money for guys who are making the minimum.
And bigger rosters.
Right.
That's so how you get a lot of guys
jobs,
to vote yes.
Little extra cash for guys that theoretically need it. You get a quick yes
yep.
vote that way.
Yep.
A 17-game regular season, of course, is part of this. It would start in 2021. In return, players get more of league revenue, better pensions for retired players, and a shorter preseason. Meanwhile, 21 teams reportedly voted to kill pass interference review in the competition committee's annual postseason survey, but no actual decision has been made on the rule just yet. Jason Tatum, 36 more points last night on a career-high 8 threes. That got the Celtics a 118-106 win in Portland. Jaylen Brown, happy to let Tatum do the heavy lifting for now.
You got to want for your brother what you want for yourself. So as we go out here and we're playing basketball games and Jason gets it going, let's keep going. So
Brown had 24 points and 7 rebounds in the win. LeBron put up a season-high 40. In his first matchup with Zion, he had 29. The Lakers won 118-109 at Staples. The Kings beat the Warriors 112-94. The Bucks left Toronto with their 50th win of the season, 108-97. And the Nuggets took care of the Pistons.
Harris attacks the rim, leans in, layup no good. Miss dunk on the follow by Grant to Jokic for three. That's it. That'll be the ball game. Nuggets lead it by 20.
Jason Kosmicki and Katie Wingy signing off on Nuggets Radio. Denver down Detroit, 115-98. They're a game and a half ahead of the Clippers for the 2 seed out west. Sixers guard Ben Simmons reportedly dealing with a nerve impingement in his lower back. He'll be reevaluated in 2 weeks, but is expected to miss more time than that. Down goes Duke again, this time at Wake Forest.
We're young, and you know, this is our 28th game. You would hope that we'd be older by now, but we were not tonight.
Coach K's team led by 9
eat
with
you up
81 seconds left in regulation.
Wake really ate them up with their eyes.
But lost in double OT, 113-101. This on the heels of that 22-point thumping at NC State last week. Wake led last night by Brandon Childress, 13 points after regulation for him. Do you know who Brandon's dad is?
I'm so glad you brought this up. Mraz?
I mean, I assume we all know.
Former Vikings head coach Brad?
Brad Childress. Former Atlanta Legends head coach as well.
No, that's incorrect. Yeah. I did not know this until I started looking into Brandon Childress because he was so emotional after this game. His post-game interview on ACC Network, he was almost in tears. I was like, wow. He was talking about how hard this was, how hard his road has been. Nobody believes in him. I'm like, I got to know Brandon Childress's story. And I just found out who his dad was. It was not former Vikings coach Brad Childress.
No.
Oh.
Good try, though.
Josh Childress?
How about former Wake star Randolph Childress?
Correct.
From the mid-90s.
From the Tim Duncan era.
So, I mean, you want to feel old.
Right.
Like, Randolph Childress has a kid that's the star of Wake Forest basketball.
Well, and not just the star. I think he's a junior So, like, he's into college now. He's just showing up. Like, no. I saw Jameer Nelson Jr.
Yeah.
play a college basketball game this year. At least he's a freshman and a babyface freshman. Like, Brandon Childress is a man.
He's probably, like, 21.
Multiple years of college basketball, and his dad is Randolph, who was starring when we were in high school. Like, enough's enough.
Dad's an assistant on Wake Forest.
He is. That is true.
So, tell me there was nothing going on with that recruitment.
Does that happen in college basketball?
A little bit.
Does that happen?
I saw... who did I see this weekend? UMass. They have three kids from the same prep school. One of them is maybe the best freshman in the Atlantic 10. Their prep school head coach is the assistant for Rhode Island.
Huh.
Like, let's just all get in a bus.
Yeah, you know
what? Let's all go. I need one good guy. I'll take your two friends and your coach. Let's all go.
And we totally accept this all of the time.
Yes.
Totally accept it.
As long as you're not like, well, here's your dad. Your dad gets a job.
Bill Self hired Mario Chalmers' dad to be on the staff. Mario Chalmers played basketball in Alaska. And this is serious. Imagine the idea that Bill Self was hiring a guy from Alaska. He's like, you know what? I just found this great basketball mind. He happens to be from Anchorage, but we're going to put him on the staff here at Kansas.
Elsewhere last night, second-ranked Baylor handled K-State 85-66. Fourth-ranked Dayton flirted with an upset, but beat George Mason 62-55. Yankees writer Luis Severino needs Tommy John surgery. Braves first baseman Freddie Freeman to miss just a few days, for now with right elbow irritation. And in the NHL last night, the Blues won their fifth in a row, 6-5 over Chicago. A four-game run for the Flyers, 4-2 winners over the Sharks. And now, let us be stunned.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
And today's stunned is a listener suggestion. It comes from via email from David Mayernick. Hope I'm saying that correctly. From New Jersey. David keeps us in Florida.
Okay.
But not Florida man or Florida woman.
Uh-huh.
There are currently about 200 rhesus monkeys living on the banks of the Silver River near Ocala, Florida.
Oh, my.
Scientists expect that population to double in the next 3 or 4 years. So that's now 400-plus monkeys living in the trees and the brush along this river.
Ocala. Wait, rhesus monkeys?
Yeah, they're like Reese's Pieces monkeys.
You're going to say something stupid, aren't you, about candy?
I'm assuming they're
just sit
related.
One out every right. once in a while. Like, Brad Childress was enough for this update.
They're not a chocolate monkey. I just want to let you know that. They have no peanut butter insides.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Their dad didn't make the candy or anything like that.
So, there's just, first of all, hundreds of monkeys living in Central Florida.
Correct.
That's amazing in and of itself.
In and of itself. The problem is, as the population doubles, obviously that raises the risk of interaction with humans who are, it's in a park, they're going down the river in canoes, they're on nature walks, and there have been a couple of instances with over-aggressive monkeys. No, like, full-on attacks, but getting too close for comfort. Sometimes they have to cordon off part of the park, keep everybody safe.
Amazing.
But these particular monkeys have an added dimension in that about half of them carry the herpes B virus.
Oh, dear. Oh.
So,
oh, ouch.
On one hand, the scientists say transmission is very unlikely if you were to get bitten by one of these monkeys.
Or French kiss them.
Exactly. But it's not zero, so it's on the table. And if you're going to get herpes, you got to get it from a Cheesecake Factory parking lot.
No
you
question.
You can't get it from a monkey on a river in Florida.
Could you imagine coming home and telling your girlfriend, yeah, I got herpes from one of the monkeys in Ocala.
Sure you did.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, great.
Pack your stuff.
That's the best you could do, man. That's the best you could do. A monkey in Ocala, really? I swear, honey, me and the guys, we were on a rowboat. We were in this park. We thought it'd be really cool. This monkey came down. He threw his poop at me. It got on my face. Sorry. It led to herpes on my lip.
What kind of day trip is that? Do you need, in all the alligator-infested waters of Florida, to be going down a river where monkeys can be giving you the herpes?
No, you don't need to be doing anything.
No. Just go in a screened-in pool and call it a day.
And they've got frozen iguanas falling out of trees in Florida,
too. Peacocks.
Why are we going there?
Look, I'm going there next month for spring training just basically because it's warm. And this is what Florida has going for it. It's warm with beaches. Outside of that, it's a disaster. And everybody knows it. I've lived there twice. Two tours of duty living in Florida. Everybody there knows and says, thank God it's warm, thank God there's beaches, because everything else here is ridiculous. Florida's climate is unlike any other climate in the United States. Once you get past a certain latitude in the U.S., it becomes tropical, and that only happens in, like, the bottom 80 miles of Florida, so that's like the Everglades. It is jungle subtropic habitat, which means things like monkeys, things like iguanas, which aren't native pythons to the U.S., can live and thrive only there. If you dropped off the Reese's monkeys in
here,
Texas,
yeah.
If there were iguanas in Cleveland, those things die in 6 minutes. But in Florida, they thrive. They become the new populations.
Yeah, the iguana problem is definitely man-made. I think these monkeys, too, were introduced
not naturally, obviously, to this area.
Yeah, whether it was by accident or not, I don't know, but that's why there's monkeys there.
Yeah, there's monkeys, there's pythons, and there's iguanas.
Not because they're natural.
Well, bobcats are natural. Not because it's natural, because we mistakenly put them there, and now they're thriving.
And carrying herpes.
Imagine getting knocked out by a frozen iguana and spit on by a herpes-carrying monkey.
Yeah. You're out cold. The monkey comes over and starts investigating your lifeless body. You come to, and you have herpes, and your girlfriend dumps you.
Welcome to Disney World.
Why would LeBron make that decision?
Sun and beaches. All right, thank you, Andrew. When we come back, we're coming up on the seven-year anniversary of one of the darkest moments in DA show history, the night that Mraz swelled up like a soup dumpling. We've got the archived audio next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
A no-sweat-pants-at-work zone.
The past couple of days, I have had some gut-wrenching laughs with Mraz. I cannot stop laughing about that. I think that is hilarious.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Our toll-free line, 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote, geico.com. That's easy. Yesterday, we posted the picture of Mraz at nearly three spins, saying, is he heavier there than Zion is now? That was after he ate 25 of 36 sliders in a White Castle Crave case. Let's go back to that night in 2013.
Well, boy, tomorrow is going to be a biggie. Not only is it a Target demo Friday, but Sean Mraz, executive producer of the DA show, is primed and ready to take down not 10, not 20, but 30 White Castle sliders. They come in a Crave case, 30 hamburgers. Mraz, how do you feel?
My mind is right. My mind is sharp. I'm ready to tear through these things.
This is the meal that we owe Mraz because he won mid-major mothership. What type of carnage are we in for tomorrow, Schwartz?
It's going to be carnage. That's a very good word. I still don't think he's going to eat all 30 of them. I'm sticking to my guns. My pick is 21.
21?
I'm going with 21. I think if I am undernourished, I can do 10.
You think only 10?
10.
See,
well,
it depends
if I'm going to have dinner before coming to the show.
But he's not.
He's not. But still, it's 30 hamburgers.
See, I don't think it's the 30 hamburgers. I think it's the 20 chicken rings on top of the 30 hamburgers that is really going to throw him for a loop. So you're going to just go only with a bowl of Special K for the entire day until the Crave case is served.
Got to leave the room in my belly.
Wow. Now, that is a bold plan. Do you think you can make it all the way to, I would say, approximately midnight is when we're probably going to be arriving with a Crave case. Can you make it till midnight without eating and going to the gym?
I cannot lie. I'm going to be a little jittery on the ride in, but I'm going to make it. I'm going to make sure I make it because I do not want to ruin what is rightfully mine in winning this meal.
Now, you did win this meal by taking Wichita State in the mid-major draft. They dance all the way to the Final Four. But here's the thing. I don't think you'll have a problem with 30 hamburgers. I really don't. It sounds like a lot, but the sliders go down pretty easily. They're small, and I think with your hefty appetite, you're going to be able to put it down. Where I think you're going to run into some issues is you also, and this is This is just something you want. There's no challenge here. You can eat whatever you want. This is your dinner.
The chicken rings will help me get down the burgers because it's a change of pace. It's a change of taste. So for every five burgers I put down, I might need a little chicken, a little crispiness, a little protein to get back into me to help me change the taste up and get back focused on the burgers.
Are you sure it's going to help you to eat 20 deep fried rings of chicken in your attempt to eat 30 hamburgers?
DA, as you know, in my prime, I once ate a 76-ounce steak after eating calamari and garlic bread. I can get it done.
So that was audio from 2013, our first year on the network doing overnights. Mraz, by virtue of winning the bracket that year, mid-major mothership, had won a dinner that we had to buy him. He chose a Crave case. I forgot it was 30 burgers, not 36.
Right. I totally blanked on how many were in it.
And I forgot about the chicken rings as well. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. So when we return here on the show, the Astros screwed a future Hall of Famer out of a legacy. We'll talk about that. And was Mraz prepared to eat a Crave case due to career desperation? We'll dissect next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Protein?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.